Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
I'm not afraid to die. Welcome to Soul Sister Radio. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Thursday. We have a brand new show that we're starting, and it is called PTH, Prayer That Heals, starring Corrine Walson. Miss Corrine Walson, are you with us today?
I am, and I'm so happy to be here. Hi, Maria.
I am so excited that you're here, and I'm so excited that we are starting this on the 3rd of January, 1, 2, 3, one for the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. On the third day, we are rising, my friend. We have waited 12 years to have this happen, and here we are. I'm excited. And we do have Dean, who is also a producer on Soul Sister Radio and is also a host with us today. And Corrine, I want you to share with my brother, Dean, everything that Prayer That Heals is all about. And why don't you do that right now by introducing and sharing with him and the rest of our audience, which I want to thank, and especially our archive listeners, which your test archive had 133 hits on it. So how exciting is that?
That is so exciting. I was just thrilled to hear it. And my aim is that if I can reach out and help one person, I'm super excited. But more is always better. Hi, Dean. I think to start off with, I believe that in the last show, we kind of touched on the fact that I believe that the majority of the population understands and would agree that prayer can heal relationships. Prayer can heal issues with finances, can bring somebody to finding the perfect home or a place to live, those sort of things. But in that, they never stretch it to physical healing. There's that bridge that they don't cross. Prayer can do this, all of this, but it doesn't affect the physical body. And I'm here to try and tell you that there is a science available that exists to all of us that shows us how Jesus Christ healed instantaneously without medicine, without the use of doctors and testing. I have been the beneficiary of prayer that heals my entire life. I have witnessed healings, hundreds of healings. I have assisted in healings. I've been the direct benefit or recipient of healings. So I know, and I know that it works. I became a lawyer in my lifetime to raise my daughter. I was a single mother, and that has been my career. I am now 43 years old, and I just keep feeling that there's a call on my life to be a part of this new message that seems to be coming out in different formats. You know, you listen to people like Wayne Dyer and Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra. Oprah's had many fascinating life classes on the subject that were actually spiritual beings and not human or mortal beings, and the implications of that truth and how that extends into every area of our lives. And I'm saying, hey, folks, not just to finances and other areas, but to your physical well-being and to your health. I was wondering today where I should start because the subject is so vast and there's so many different avenues that we could walk down, and there isn't enough time. And I just said, you know, God, where do you want me to start? And he said, with me. And I thought about all the different definitions and aspects that people have about God. We have different names for God. People have different relationships with God. But what I find, and is heartbreaking for me, is that people start off with a sense that they are somehow separated from God, that God's somewhere up there and that we're down here. And that maybe if the stars are in alignment or I've been good enough, that God might hear my prayer and might help me. And when you understand the truth of your relationship to God and what God really is, you're going to sense that, man, I can't believe I've been, you know, feeling this way. It just, you've been robbed. You have been absolutely been robbed of who you are and who your father mother is. And I'd like to start by talking about the way that I view God. And there are seven synonyms that we use to define God. And those, I want you just to take it in one at a time, but God is life, eternal life, no beginning, no ending, just life force, vibrant, energetic life. God is truth. Whatever is true is God. God is incapable of expressing anything that is untrue. God does not create a lie or a liar. God only expresses what is true. My favorite is God is love. God is infinite love, filling all space, holding all its creation in perfect harmony. That love is enveloping you and guiding you and holding you and knows you and is tenderly watching over you. God is love. God is soul. Oh, beautiful, beautiful soul. Think of soul as the artist of the world. The sunrises, the sunsets, the colors of the mountains and the intricate patterns and colors and the flowers, and when you're just, your breath is just taken away, standing looking over the ocean. I mean, that's his gift. God is in that. That he is the creator. He is soul. God is mind. One infinite, all-knowing mind. And that mind created all that is, was, and ever will be. There is one intelligence, one perfect, divine, all-knowing intelligence. God is spirit. God is not mortal. God is spiritual. We don't know how spirit works, but we know that it is not in or of matter. And most of all, God is principle. Principle, when you think of principle, think of a law like mathematics, something that you know works, is consistent, and it's true, and it's the structure of all that God creates. Now, that was a lot. But I think people consider, a lot of people have been taught that God is a person. I don't like to think of God in the terms of person, because person would limit infinite goodness. People have prejudices or shortcomings or weaknesses. God doesn't have those. So God is spiritual, not material. So when we start from that premise that God has these qualities, then we can go from God created everything and behold, it was very good. Okay, God created man and woman in his image and likeness. Wow. You are the very image of that eternal life. You are the image and the message of truth. You are the loveliness of love. You are the art of soul. You express mind's intelligence perfectly. You know, on that mind, know that there are not many minds warring with one another. There's one infinite intelligence, one perfect mind, and we all reflect that. Let's talk about the words image and likeness. When you look in the mirror, whatever you do in front of that mirror, your reflection does simultaneously, and it does it effortlessly. You don't have to coax your image to show up in the morning in that mirror. It's there. When you reflect these qualities, you are already doing these qualities perfectly and effortlessly. God designed you that way. Okay? Now, you're all saying, okay, sounds good, yeah, but what about my life? Okay. We've been talking about truth. We've been talking about the absolute, what God created. Now we want to turn and say, but my life, seeming life, doesn't seem to mirror or match up to what you just described. In the last class, we talked about Adam and Eve and the dream and the serpent. And I explained it as a supposition, or somebody says, suppose that there is a power opposed from God. Suppose there is more than one mind. Suppose there is a power that can oppose and struggle against God. And when we agree with that supposition, someone comes out and hands you this question mark, like, do you believe this? And we agree with that. We give that lie all the life and power that it has as long as we believe in that. And I'm here to tell you that when you fully understand that what it is an actual lie, and once you understand your relationship to God and who you are as his creation, that once it's in your consciousness, the manifestation of the lie falls away from your experience. I can only describe it as human consciousness equals human experience. What you hold in your consciousness is what you are manifesting in your life. Have I lost you, or are you with me?
No.
We're with you.
Okay.
So basically, what you basically just said is what you think is what you will become.
Right. And so right now, what we believe, we're walking around in the dark, and we're bumping our heads, and we're believing, I am a limited mortal being, that I have limited, I am a slave to my circumstance, I have limited means, I am sick, I am on borrowed time, I am in a terrible, inharmonious relationship. I mean, oh my goodness, we have bought into all of this. And when you can focus and admit and understand, really study what God is and who you are as his creation, and you get it, you will have either an instantaneous healing of whatever the supposed problem is, or it will simply fall away from your human experience.
Mm-hmm.
There have been thousands and thousands and thousands of documented healings based on this scientific approach, and it works. And I've been sitting back going, oh my gosh, I'm listening to these people on TV and radio, and I'm saying, they're getting it. They're getting it. You know, I just watched The Secret not that long ago, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, they're approaching the truth, and they're seeing that we aren't physical beings, but that basically when you take it from the body down to the cell, to the molecule, to the atom, beyond that is just energy, okay? And basically everything underlying the energy is thought, and that when you change your thought, you change things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying, but now why don't they connect that with physical healing? I can tell you the only answer that I can come up with is because it's professional suicide for these people who have made a name for themselves. It's that the world is not yet ready, perhaps, to embrace it. When you look at Jesus Christ, who brought light into the world, instead of saying, thank you for healing, you know, all these people, they crucified them. Anytime good tries to emerge into the world in the form of light and truth, the world's very existence depends on snuffing that out. How does darkness exist when there's light? It cannot. So when the light is introduced, the darkness will do anything. It's mere survival is to snuff that out. If you look at all the great, you know, philanthropists, I mean, my gosh. And it's happening today. And so nobody really wants to come forward and say and put their neck out. I think the people like Wayne Dyer and Marianne Williamson understand it, but they're not quite stating it.
Right.
And I'm here to say, I don't care. I'm going to put it out there, and I know about it, and a lot of other people know about it, and I want to help people. And if I can get somebody in agreement with this and their life has changed for the better, you know, I'm satisfied and I'm happy.
I just want to let you know that I'm absolutely fascinated by what you're saying.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah.
It's something that I think a lot of people need to hear. Again, it's opening your thought, the thought process, and that's what I'm so excited about. You've got about 7 minutes left.
I think you can, if you can understand that every single problem, seeming problem in your life, the answer does not lie outside of yourself, okay? You can't go out and manipulate matter or manipulate others or things to solve whatever seems to be ailing you. The answer always, always, always lies from within. Remember, a change in your thought will bring about a change in your experience. And you can leave the how is this going to happen to divine intelligence, mind. The mind that already knows all is far more equipped to deal with the rearranging of your experience than you are. So just understanding that I have to go within, and the starting place is, what is God and what is my connection, or who am I as the image and likeness of God? That's the starting point. And in different shows, we can talk. We can take the issue of lack. It seems like everybody's really, you know, concerned about the economy and lack of jobs and employment. Oh, my gosh, that's going to be a fun and exciting show in itself. Relationship issues, okay? You know, we can handle these one at a time, and I think it'd be great to have some callers and see, you know, what kind of conversation we can conjure up. I think it's a lot to take in. I've said a lot, and I'm hoping I didn't scare anybody away, but I wanted to put down sort of a platform on what this is based upon. But most of all, and above all, in this science, because science, the word science sounds cold, is the ingredient of love. We have to know that above all, whether it's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, you know, your God is father, mother. And a lot of religions, and I'm not saying it's bad, but they just say the father and the son. But what about, I think of God in qualities, what about motherhood qualities? Nurturing, loving, tender, mercy. I think of those as feminine. And I think of God as an all-encompassing, perfect parent, loving us. And, you know, and he loves us through us. When I'm loving somebody, that's God. There's just one love. And every example of love that you see going on around you, that's God right there in the room or over the phone. You know, it's not separate from him. And he moves through us and with us. And when I pray, I just say, you know, God, remove the junk and let me be a window pane and a voice for you. Feed your sheep, you know, help them to see, because it's not right that we're walking around in the dark and bumping our heads and that we don't know and that we've been lied to and that we have limited ideas about who we are and what we're capable of. Ah, that's my dream, to have everybody take off these glasses and see the brilliance of you and how God loves you and what he's given us and what you have, and to take it, you know? It's a tragedy for anybody that goes through this life and doesn't catch a glimpse of that. Anyway.
It's amazing to hear you. And again, Kareen, there is so much information that you have. Go ahead, Dean. You wanted to say something?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct when you made your point there about the feminine character of God. I believe, you know, it's pretty clear in Genesis that when you know, he says that we make you in our image. He's actually meaning the feminine image, and our means there's two people there. And I do mm-hmm. believe that there is the female God within God the Father.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yeah, well, you look at what God is, you know, life and truth and love and soul and mind, and all of those conjure up masculine and feminine qualities, you know, and God being all powerful. You think, oh, that's, you know, masculine. You think daddy running to the rescue, fixing, guarding. And then you think of love and just the tenderness of God and how intimately he knows us and loves us and cares for us. And when you have that healing, you get this tingling, loving, all-encompassing feeling, and you it's like the angels have kissed you, you know, and it's just the most amazing feeling, and you feel all at once Father, Mother, God holding you, you know,
yeah.
And just knowing that's the way it's always been, and any separation from God is the lie, and that's what we need to work on together on this show.
And that's what we're going to. I want you to go ahead, and our audience will know next week what your Facebook page for this show is going to be. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about all the information that you're going to be able to put on there. So people will be able to see all of this new information, or everything old is new again kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about PTH, Prayer That Heals, with Corrine Walson, and it will be Thursdays at 4:30. And you have one more minute, Corrine, before we go into our next show, which is an amazing show. It is The Advocate with Susan Shingazar. And so we have one more minute if you would like to close out, and we will go into the next show.
I think if there is just one idea that I can leave with all of you, is just to have faith and hope, and don't get discouraged in these times, to know that God does know exactly where you are and loves you and is reaching out to you through this program, through other, you know, books and whatever help that you're getting, or a friend or a message that you get, but just recognize that the light is there and he's reaching for you, and to just listen, you know, just to try and get quiet this week, and just know, even in the face of it, all the evidence that might seem to the contrary, know that he loves you and he's with you and he's guiding you and he's walking this path with you, and he wants you desperately to know how much you're loved. That's just it. Just focus on, I know that I'm loved. And in the face of whatever you're dealing with, just sit quietly and hold that thought. You know, let that kind of just bring peace over you until we can meet again. And thank you so much for caring enough and listening and letting me impart what I feel is his message to you. I love you, and I will talk to you all next week. Thank you.
Amen. And we will see Corrine next week on Prayer That Heals on Soul Sister Radio. We'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
welcome to Soul Sister Radio, and this is Soul Sister Thursday, and it's the advocate, Susan Chinguzar. Susan, take it away. It's all yours.
Good afternoon. Good evening to you out there. I am Susan Chinguzar. I am the advocate. I have been given a voice to influence women, and I endeavor to do so on my journey. I use this show, The Advocate, to inspire those who, like me, have been broken from a life of abuse, physical, mental, emotional, or sexual inappropriateness, abuse of any kind. I invite you to listen to this show. Each week on this show, I bring to you a special guest. Today we have an amazing woman with us, and I'll introduce her shortly. But this week I was reading a magazine that came to me from Joyce Meyer's ministry, and this story just really spoke to my heart as I read it. And it's about a girl named Natalia. This girl was from a small Bulgarian village who woke up one dreadful morning shackled to a bed, the victim of human trafficking. She shared horrors few can even imagine. So this woman is interviewing her, Ginger, with Joyce Meyer's ministry. She says in her magazine story, "Her words had riveted me. She struggled to share her story with me and nearly couldn't make it through. There came a point that she melted into my arms, tears choking off the syllables as she clung to me and cried. Her life permanently became a part of mine. I would never forget her pain or the grace of God that set her free." Our stories are powerful. When we share a story or listen to someone else's, we connect in a uniquely personal way. That's one of the reasons Jesus told parables, or more simply put, stories. He was the master at drawing people in and teaching lessons in a way that they would remember. On the outside of Nancy's family looked the all-American dream. Behind closed doors, this precious little girl, called worthless, chained to a table, beaten and starved, she stared the truth few could see. But beyond each of these heartbreaking stories, there's redemption and peace that only comes through Christ. Her story is like so many people out there, and each story uniquely different. And I wrote my story in a book called Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. It's a story of tears, joy, happiness, and horrific, unimaginable abuse that I endured so that I could become the advocate I am today. I went through the refining fire so I could say I know how it feels, that I could reach out to somebody out there and share my story that would touch them in a way that it would change their life. I am not unique. I am only one woman who's being used by God to make a difference in this world globally. This is going globally around the world. We are making a difference. And today I bring to you an amazing woman that God put in my path. And I had asked God, why does it cost more than a person makes in 1 year's salary to pay an attorney to get divorced? And I just was so upset by this that I cried out to God. And I shared it with one of my colleagues on a board for Safe Passage, Linda. And as we sat there talking about it on our way to an event that we were planning, we spoke it out, asked God for it, and there was the person we needed to meet. So today on The Advocate, it's my pleasure to announce a special guest, this amazing woman. Her name is Dionne Nixon. She's a strong advocate of people knowing their rights in the family law system so that they can protect themselves, their families, valuable assets. She helps her clients learn to navigate the process and the court system effectively, saving money and empowering them in the process. Deon Nixon was born and raised in a liberal Kansas city. With a strong Midwestern values, she received her BS in accounting and business administration, master's in divorce through the process of two divorces, and Deon is currently working on her PhD in child psychology. As through the lessons provided, courtesy of the seven children she gave birth to from ages 16 to 2, with the belief that everyone has a life purpose. Deon now believes her struggles sometimes seemed insurmountable. Our gifts given to her, the passion to help others survive and thrive through life. Every struggle she has lived through gives her the strength and wisdom to help others navigate with the family law system and avoid some of her own mistakes through the process. Many people entering into the process of divorce are not aware of all the resources that are available to them and the opportunities available to save thousands of dollars in the process. As a serial entrepreneur, Deon has the core knowledge in technology, business, and is a resource and efficiency expert. She's not an attorney, nor does she provide legal advice. Her expertise is in helping people manage the process more efficiently and effectively. And I bring her on this show because of the reason I just spoke of, and also myself going through divorce, spending over $50,000 to date today and not finished with the divorce I started last March. It is a crime that we have to pay this much money to get out of an abusive relationship or a relationship that is no longer thriving. And I say this for women and men. It is a crime that we have to spend this much money. So it's with my pleasure to bring Deon on this show, The Advocate, and welcome, Deon.
Thank you so much for having me today. It's a pleasure. I just think of the sadness of people who have already been through so many challenges, and then they have to launch into dealing with the family law system, which is such a challenging system to navigate. So, and we're at our worst when we have to start that process and without the knowledge to do so. So it's a pleasure to be here, and I hope that I can be of assistance.
Absolutely. I know that with the women we help in domestic violence, some of them have told us that they were too afraid to get out of the relationship because they maybe weren't the breadwinner, or maybe they had no education and they had no access to give most attorneys who ask in a divorce case. It used to be $5,000. Now it's starting at $750 and up to sometimes when there's children and property involved, the lawyer wants a retainer of up to $25,000 before he starts. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and I really think that so many people with good cause don't know all of the opportunities that are out there for free help or for self-help through the court system or possibly a referral from a friend to an attorney who would at least talk to them on the phone for an hour and start to get them a foundation of information that they may think that they have to go around talking to several different attorneys paying $400 or $500 an hour. So I know I've received thousands of dollars of advice for free just by interviewing attorneys. So I don't know if the attorneys would like to hear me say that. But also just knowing that, like you said, I'm not an attorney and I do not give legal advice, but I want people to understand that there are so many things that they can do on their own. And I know that you're not at your best when you're starting the process, but having an advocate to help you, or if you are emotionally equipped to step up and be that advocate for yourself, just as you would if you were a cancer patient or, you know, dealing with a doctor, we have to inform ourselves. We have to learn what options are available to us. And I say this because I went into my own very long extended, painful, painful divorce, so ill-informed and made so many mistakes. And today I understand that, you know, $100,000 later, I could have done possibly 70% of that work myself and potentially used unbundled services, doing the paperwork and the service of any kind of documents myself at a much lower rate, and maybe having an attorney represent me in the courtroom. So there's just all forms and fashions, and it depends on the complexity of the divorce as well. Are there assets? Are there custody issues? Are experts required? So each case is different, and I think friends tend to try to give us well-intended advice, maybe based on their own experience. But each case is so unique, and the type of attorney that might be required is very different from case to case.
So take us through the process when a individual contacts you, your services, and you talk with them.
Well, my first step would be somewhat of an intake form to understand where they stand. Have they hired an attorney? Has the process even started yet? Have they interviewed attorneys? Many times I will find that I find someone who's already maybe $30,000 into the process and hasn't even been in the courtroom. So those are situations that are so disappointing, and I had my experience myself. So I understand how it happens, but the forms that have to be completed are relatively simple. If you know, get in there, and like I said, there's all kinds of self-help in the court system. I know they have it at Los Angeles. They have it in Orange County, where you can go in and basically you can make an attempt to fill out the forms, and then they will sit down and review those with you before you submit them to the court. Now, I'm not advocating, you know, don't get legal advice, because, you know, if you need to get legal advice, you should definitely get legal advice. But I'm just saying that there are many opportunities to complete these forms on your own. And then as you start to get into greater complexities, then bring legal counsel on board.
So you put together a range of services for a client, is that right?
That's right. And then what I like to do is help them do what I call a mind map, which really goes over what are all the aspects of your marriage, how long have you been married, how many children do you have, are there children from other marriages? Is there real estate that you co-own? Are there businesses that you co-own? Really just put the whole picture together, because one of the problems is with these attorneys handling how many ever cases, 10 or 20 cases at a time, you don't want to spend hours at a time re-explaining your situation to your attorney every time you go in his office. So with this map, it's a visual of, you know, here's when I got married, here's when I got divorced, is it a long-term marriage, this is the age of this child, and just for purposes of determining support, and then there's a lot of factors that come into spousal support, and then there's a lot of things that can be done as well in terms of if you're having difficulty getting support. You know, if there's a court order, there's a lot of both things you can do through the self-help and through the court system, as well as things you can do yourself. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that if you're self-represented, you can get out there and subpoena documents yourself. You can subpoena deposition testimony that you can go take yourself. That was one thing that in the beginning I didn't realize, that even having an attorney, I wasn't advised that here's all your options, here's everything we could be doing to expedite this process. And with the court so overloaded right now and backed up, it can take 3 months, 4 months, I've heard of even 12 months to get a court date at times. So you really have to be on top of your case and understanding what's going to happen at that hearing or trial and be well informed. And I know for myself, I made it a practice to prepare the night before, send notes to my attorney and say, please remember X, Y, and Z. These are critical items that might not be in the forefront of your mind. The other thing is I help my clients with communication with their attorney, if they have an attorney, in terms of just making sure that they are communicating the type of information that the attorney needs to know and not using their attorney just as a sounding board, because that becomes very expensive as well.
Now, Dion, do you ever go into the courtroom with a client as a support person to observe their case, that they're being given the full amount of what they're due from their attorney, in your own opinion?
I absolutely do. I go in and I sit with them. A lot of people are very nervous about going to court the first few times. A lot of people don't understand that there's certain actions you can take in court that will potentially prejudice against you. Perhaps, you know, you're feeling exasperated and kind of, you know, that becomes apparent to the judge, or being argumentative, or all types of things that I try to help my clients understand that that is not going to help your case. You need to be careful about those kinds of things, as well as I spend my time documenting what is going on. Attorneys that just frequently don't show up until an hour or two late, and the cost to the client and the opposing counsel, and just I see things that are just appalling, and that really has been part of what's motivated me to become an advocate for people in family law. To I don't know, I think we somehow need to disrupt this system to a certain extent in order to get some improvements in it.
I totally agree. I know with my situation, I had already paid my attorney in the $20,000 range, and I was being emotionally, physically, mentally abused by my husband, and to the point where I kept telling my attorney, I need a restraining order, and I ended up getting one on my own because I had just was to my limit. And then my attorney told me he wasn't going to represent me because it hurt his feelings that I went and did this on my own with no respect to me as the client and what I was going through, to the point where I ended up taking a leave of absence from my job as an emergency room nurse, because now I had an attorney who was adversarial towards me, and I was going through a restraining order and had, you know, so many things going on, and all he cared about was the money. And I had to fire my attorney and then get an attorney who specialized in domestic violence to help me, costing me more money.
Yes, I think, you know, they become desensitized, and I certainly don't want to bash attorneys, but there are circumstances where that type of abuse exists, and I sort of have this philosophy of how you are being treated in your marriage is very closely related to how you will be treated in divorce. I see sometimes with my clients that their attorneys sort of takes on the same demeanor as the abusing ex-spouse that they may have been dealing with, knowing that you know, they have that personality type that they can get away with that. And I just get so frustrated by that. I recently had a client, and I immediately had her switch attorneys because I saw, you know, that he was just the same thing, just not responding to the crisis that she was dealing with. So I understand what you're saying.
I'm so glad you brought that up. You depicted my attorney to the T. And what I found out about my attorney after I fired him was that he was actually – an abuser, which was my gut feeling when I met him, not knowing that because I didn't look him up. And I found out afterwards. And so I was totally taken by surprise, except I had that gut feeling. And so I'm glad you bring that up because it was exactly what was happening. And I felt unsupported. And I felt like I'm paying for this. And
absolutely.
And so I... No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's another thing that I like to really work with my clients on is understanding who you're selecting as an attorney and understanding who you're being assigned as a judge. Because I know, for one, my attorney never told me, we have 10 days to make a peremptory challenge if we feel this is not the right judge for the case. Most people don't know that, you know, that you have that period of time if you've been assigned a judge that seems to maybe have some prejudice in one way or the other towards men or women or whatever situation, that you can opt out of that. And I don't think attorneys necessarily have a great incentive to worry about that, but we as clients, that affects the outcome of our case. And the same is true if you get involved in 730 evaluations, which, as you know, are, you know, the psychologists that get involved and make determinations about the children. You have the alternative to say, this is not the person I want doing this evaluation. You know, the court assigns someone, but you can stand up and say within a certain period of time, I've done a little research, I don't think that person is right for making this decision for my family. And I won't really go off on the whole 730 evaluation topic because it's a whole issue I'm working with as well, that I have great concerns about how that takes place and the decisions that are made for families based on, you know, a very limited amount of hours that these professionals spend with the family, and they're making the ultimate decision about what's best for the children based on fairly limited knowledge. So
Dion, we need to take a station break in just a few minutes,
okay.
But I was wondering what your thoughts are about maybe having a petition that would make a cap on certain things for low-income families, say, which is most of our society that have children to come into court. Is there any legislature out there that you have looked at and maybe we don't know about?
I have not seen that, but that's something that I'm, you know, can take a look at, definitely.
I really was so passionate about this subject, and so I just feel like you are such a godsend. And so when we come back after this station break, I want to continue this conversation.
Okay.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back, Dion.
Thank you.
I was just talking to you about maybe having look into legislature about having a cap on the amount they can charge for divorce. The reason I'm thinking this is I'm in healthcare, and certain procedures, there is a maximum that can be charged by a doctor for that procedure. And I just thought that it is just out of control that people go broke for thousands and thousands of dollars, and they will never recover from the debt. And it's just a spiral that they get into. And I know for myself it's going to take me years to come out of paying off this debt that I've incurred, just to get out of the relationship that I had stayed in for so long, knowing that I would be paying this price. And I even told the attorney up front what was going to happen, what had happened previously when I tried to divorce. And he didn't care, because he obviously knew how much money I had by looking at my credit card statements, how much, you know, each card had $30,000 maximum credit limit. And so that when they ask you for all that stuff up front, it's really to see how much they can get from you. And I think it's a crime.
It is. And it's so sad. And I'll tell you honestly, I lost everything through my divorce. I had a successful business, you know, a home, rental properties. I lost everything. And like you, you know, it will take me many years to rebuild that. And a lot of that, you know, part of it was the declining economy, but a lot of it was just the process. And nobody, there's just no real incentive by the attorneys to get things wrapped up. So, you know, that's one thing about my model with Unknot Me, is my hope is to educate people, be an advocate for them, help them understand things that can be done in alternate ways. Like I said, not providing legal advice, but maybe educating them when they need, you know, when and where to get legal advice. And like I said, it's not, we don't need to be paying a law firm necessarily to fill out a form that is easily filled out on the internet and walk to the courthouse yourself, or, you know, have a friend of yours serve it for you. Or, I mean, the fees just go up astronomically. And my feeling is nobody knows their case better than that person. And so in terms of writing declarations, I think that we're the person most equipped to tell the story. And, yes, we may need some legal advice in terms of, you know, tweaking it here and there, but I just think there's a lot of waste in the system. And going back to another point you made about the you know, basically being fired by your attorney, you know, I think a lot of people, and I went through this experience, having an attorney just tell me, I'm not going to represent you anymore, just because I, you know, he was fairly male chauvinist, I hate to say that, but treating me kind of like the little lady, and he just said, I'm not representing you anymore. And not knowing, I thought, okay, well, I just signed here at the bottom, even though I've already paid this guy whatever it was, $30,000. And I realized later, when I had another attorney who was attempting to help me collect legal fees from my ex-husband, who was very capable of paying legal fees. He was not succeeding, so he asked to be relieved from the case. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not signing that paper. You can go in front of the judge and tell her why you're not going to represent me anymore. And the judge said to him, well, the reason she's not paying you is because you haven't collected her legal fees. I'm not relieving you from this case. So it's good for people to understand that they're not at the mercy of the attorney in those circumstances.
Exactly. And that was the reason I actually let my attorney go after he treated me that way, because I had a right to get a restraining order, and he was busy.
Absolutely.
the day I called and said, I need a restraining order right now. And you know, he knew the situation and escalated, and he just said to me, you know, you're the most emotionally charged woman I've ever met. And it just really was not what I needed to hear, because I was at the mercy of almost losing my job because my husband was tormenting me. And you cannot function as an emergency room nurse and go without sleep because you're being tormented all night and you have nowhere else to go. And so I took matters in my own hands. And so I had to stand up for myself. And so he just didn't like that. And he had to represent me. And so he knew he was in a bad position because I had gotten the restraining order on my own. And so I ended up getting a wonderful attorney who's helping me. It's just that it's very costly, and I've really had enough of paying these court fees and just getting nowhere.
See?
It is. It's so frustrating and so discouraging. But you know, I hopefully, you know, we can believe that we're surviving and we're going to thrive through this, despite the fact of these very difficult and challenging life crises that we're dealing with.
Susan, well, you know, Dionne, you're a very strong woman. You have 7 children, and I had 7 children too, are in heaven. So I'm in the same position, and we're both very educated women. But some of the public is not as educated as we are. And so that's why I'm an advocate, and so are you. But for those who are not educated, I'm really hoping that someone out there listens to the show and gives the show to someone to listen to, because that is the goal. Because you are very educated and able to navigate, and you're a thinker. You know, I've got to do something, and that's why I'm at, too. But not everybody is that way.
Susan,
no, but I'll be really honest with you. For many years, I didn't act like I was educated. I stuck my head in the sand, and I said, okay, I've gotten a reference. I have this attorney, and he's got me covered. And I think a lot of people do that, both men and women. They just assume that they've hired the best attorney they can, and so now they can go on about their life because it's emotionally difficult to face all those letters that come on Friday afternoon and all that other ugly stuff, and you just emotionally distance yourself from it. And I think you just have to tackle it head on. And I do understand what you're saying, that, you know, I feel like I do have the education to fight the battle, but I did have to get in there and night and day sit there and read family law code, and I'm not an attorney, you know. So I equate it to doing brain surgery when you've never been to medical school to some degree. It is so difficult at times to navigate through when you don't have the background, but it is possible, and there are a lot of resources out there that I just want to make sure people are aware of. I know in Orange County we have the Legal Aid Society.
That has been updated.
I'm sorry, are you there?
Yeah, Maria, is that you?
I'm not sure what it was, but actually we do have a caller in that has something to say. So can we take a break right now?
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Okay, the caller, this is Dean. Dean, why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
Yeah, I just was up. I was just in a very, very similar situation. And to something, I don't know if it was Dionne that said it maybe about 15 minutes ago, but you said something that was absolutely ironic that happened to me yesterday, and that was the comment you made about the attorney examining your financial disclosure statement, then basing their bill upon that statement that you've given them. And I think that for you just to say that and expose that reality is just a godsend, and I want to thank you for that.
Yes, that wasn't me. We can attribute that to Susan. but absolutely, absolutely. I think that's what happens, and they know when you have resources and when you don't have resources. And it was as I began to deplete all of my resources and lose my home and everything else that my attorney decided that he was no longer interested in working on my case.
Exactly. Exactly. And I thank you, Dean, for pointing that out, because that is exactly the way I felt. The lawyer looked at the fact that I'm an emergency room nurse. I make over $100,000 a year. I have the potential to do this, and didn't look at the fact that how much was maxed out and how much I had. And I had said, this is all I have. I want to do this the quickest I can. I don't want to spend all this time in court. Let's wrap it up. Let's do mediation. And he stretched it out and stretched it out. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And so when I was getting emotional towards him, it was like, no, this is not what I want. This, and he's like, you don't agree. Well, of course I'm not going to agree. I don't have the money. And so I lost 6 months of my wages by taking the first break I've ever had since 1990 off from work, because I need to get myself together just to go through this divorce. And so I feel like I should sue the attorney, but that's another story.
It's just so the emotional toll that it takes going through a divorce. I know they equate it up there with some of the most difficult life crises that we go through. And then on top of that, we get to deal with the legal system, which is so challenging. So I know the desperation I felt at times watching everything I had evaporate and still not having a solution or an end to the process.
So, Dion, where are you located for those listening?
I am based in Orange County, California. But I am available for phone consultations, and I would love to help in any way I can with your organization if you'd like me to come out and do a seminar or in some way help, because I would like to make everyone aware of all the different resources that are available in terms of self-help for people that can't afford an attorney or don't feel equipped to dive in and try to understand what can be done.
And you mentioned earlier about the judges. Certain judges are for the woman and certain judges are for the man. I know I had a judge that was horrible. He wouldn't even let my attorney speak. It was an associate attorney. She couldn't even say a word. And I said, I don't ever want to go in front of this judge again. And she said, you have to. Only to find out when I changed attorneys that I had never stipped to this judge, and we got rid of him.
Oh,
I'd never
goodness.
Signed anything. And I was terrified to go back to court because I didn't want this judge. And I never want to see this man ever in my life. But I hadn't even signed anything saying I agreed to that judge. But my attorney that I got rid of told me I had to. And I was being lied to.
So
many people are in the same position. So I'm so happy that you had mentioned that, you know, some are for the children, some are for this, and, you know, people have preferences, just like I'm an advocate for victims of domestic violence. And there are people
Absolutely.
Who do that.
And I know for me, I was assigned a judge and never given the opportunity to really understand who anything about this judge, and I'm not mentioning any names, but it later became known to me that she is not equipped in any way, shape, or form to handle, complex financial situations. So when it came time to trial, she basically had to pass the case off to someone else because she could not she was not equipped to deal with that. And fortunately, I got assigned to another judge who was, you know, he has his master's in taxation and has a business degree. And so that's where I say, you know, knowing that you have a judge that's really equipped to deal with the type of case you have. And certainly I don't believe that's how it's assigned. I think it's much more on a random basis.
I agree with that, and I almost feel like it's a bullying that is going on with this power that they have as a judge sitting there in the robe. And if they don't like you, they can just blast you out of the courtroom. And it is, it should be stopped. And I'm not sure where this is going to go, but I really do not like the way you sit there and you listen to everybody else's case and you feel bad for the person that's getting yelled at by this judge who has no idea what it took them to get there early in the morning, to park their car, walk across the street, go through that line, ask somebody what floor it's on, and all the stuff going on, and they have no idea. All they care about is...
No, go ahead.
No, all they care about is getting all these files off of their desk. And we are not individuals any longer. We're just part of the system. And it has to stop, and people need to start treating each other with respect. And so I need to see that we are advocates for, as a global, around the world, that this is message is going to be heard and that people will start taking their jobs with pride. I mean, I'm a nurse. I had sense enough to step away from my job because I didn't want to be in a position where my emotional torment I was going through would affect me on the job. And I have been a nurse for a very long time. I was smart enough to say, I'm going to walk away.
I applaud you for that, yes. And going, I can't imagine how difficult that job is. And then on top of that, having a marriage that's so fraught with difficulties as well, and then trying to go through the divorce process. That must have been very difficult. And, yes, I think something has to be done in the system. And, you know, I have some sleepless nights wondering how I can, as an individual, start to affect some change on that, because I sit in those courtrooms so many days and I just shake my head wondering how this can be happening. And it's just, you feel like a cattle call. And I know some changes are being made. For example, with the Elkins Task Force a couple of years ago, they made it so that each person must be given the opportunity to give testimony, to speak, as opposed to just making rulings based on declarations, which I know the filings, the papers. So I think that's a step in the right direction, but I think a lot of people felt that was not good because it just further, you know, takes time for the judges. But I think people, their voices have to be heard. They have to be able to tell their story, and some people are not equipped to write an effective declaration telling what's going on. So.
And what was that called? What task force was that?
It's the Elkins Task Force.
I had never heard of that. Susan?
Well, I can send that over to you. But those are things that I want to start to make available on my website. I'm trying to build within my website something called Divorcepedia, which would be just basic, you know, there's a lot of information out there on the web regarding divorce, but in order to pull it all together is a monumental task for a lot of people, you know, looking up this and that, and what do I do in a 730 evaluation, what are my rights, what are my rights in the courtroom, what do I need to know about these judges that are in my county, what do I need to know about different attorneys within my county, the experts that are needed, the evaluators, I'm trying to pull that all together so that people have that more at their fingertips, things like the Elkins Task Force, and just information about how is spousal support calculated and how is child support calculated and what other factors come into play aside from just the Disco Master. So my hope is that over the next year I'll have something that makes that information more readily available to everyone.
Susan, we have another caller.
Awesome. Yes,
Susan,
bring them on.
Another caller, we have Corrine. Corrine, you're on live with Susan.
Susan, how are
Welcome,
you?
Welcome, Corrine.
Great. Thank you. About what you've been talking about. I am an attorney. I've been practicing civil law for, I guess it's going on 15 years now. And I've had very limited, I tried family law in the beginning, and I just found that I felt so emotionally tied and invested into the case and that there wasn't a sense of real justice. And I did not pursue family law. I met my husband, and he was going through a very vicious child custody matter. And he wasn't able to afford representation, and I stepped in and helped him. And I learned on the fly all about, you know, the DISL Master and the 730 evaluations and the Children Minors Council and how futile that system is and how it just seems like it's a money mill. Like the judges are friends with Minors Council, and the Minors Council will refer, recommend certain 730 evaluators, and it's just who's, you know, greasing whose palm, and that there's also no sense of real teeth to family law, that people can just walk right through any court order, and there's no ramifications at all. Depending upon the judge that you get, it's going to be more favorable to the mother or the father, you know, depending on the judge. And it just flies in the sense of justice and what is right. Fortunately, through, you know, some deep prayer, we had some interesting turns of events in my husband's case, and that's a whole different time and place, but I really believe that getting educated before you get into the process, having a list of those attorneys who are actually interested in it and not just looking for a quick buck. I mean, there's so many attorneys out there that just want the retainer and then you're forgotten, you know, and they'll do as little as possible so that if it comes to light, they said, hey, I've done something on this case. But they're not interested in the end result. They're not interested in justice or the pain and suffering of their client. And then listening to your program, I was just texting a girlfriend of mine who's a lawyer who's unemployed right now. I said, you know, they offer classes to attorneys to teach them, you know, specialized areas of violence. I do divorce, but, you know, domestic violence is in getting restraining orders on an ex-party emergency basis is something that I think we should learn and offer. And a while back, I was doing a clinic with the Anaheim Police Department where we sat down in a room, another attorney and I sat down, we just put the forms out for restraining orders or child support, and we would sit in large numbers, and these would come in, and we would just sort of take them by the hand, fill out the forms, but they would have to go in and file them themselves. And, of course, we'd help them fill out a fee waiver form. And this program started picking up, and then my girlfriend, who was the one that was in charge, unfortunately and sadly passed away suddenly. So I saw that it was working, and there's such a need, and there are people like myself who are interested in doing it. It just feels like I was alone out in the sea of all of this, and I hear people like yourself and the other woman on the phone that if there was a database about, you know, Judge and Department C-44, you know, it's not friendly or just something to get it out there and let people know that they do have the right to challenge a judge and get a list of attorneys who are educated and enthusiastic about the cause. So just wanted to let you know there are attorneys out here that care, but the system is really stacked against us until we can all come together and become educated.
And
I commend you.
And agree with you, yes.
I commend you for stepping forward with that. I do know that when I filed the restraining order, I had left my husband's name off one page, and when I went to court, his lawyer picked up on it and threw it out. And so I had to refile the hearing. And so it cost more on my part for error, but I didn't know. I was in such a hurry, and I, you know, not being an attorney, not knowing how to do the forms. I think someone needs to be assigned to courthouses when a domestic violence person comes in, that they they call that person to help them fill out the forms as a courtesy because they're an abused person.
Sure, and what kind of a judge allows somebody on the technicality? I mean, there should be judges. I've seen judges that, you know, take real time with impropers or people representing themselves to explain without giving them legal advice, but explain the process. And we need more of that. And then I've seen some that are just stellar and some that are just, oh, I don't know how they got on the bench, and it's a disgrace.
It is. And what you were talking about earlier is kind of like stark law in the medical field, where you cannot refer clients to your colleague or something that you are part of to make money off of. And that's against the law in the medical field. It should be against the law in this instance also.
Well, it probably is, but nobody's paying attention. There's absolutely nobody policing this. You know, it's a small community. They all know one another. And, you know, Orange County is a very tight-knit circle, actually, and it seems like everybody knows each other. And it's just a way to make money. I mean, my husband went through hell and got a favorable 730 evaluation, and because it came out favorable to him, they just tossed it out. I mean, after, you know, series and series of interviews and testing and everything, then to say, okay, we should win, they just disregarded it as if it had never been ordered because it didn't prove what they'd hoped would prove. And I just sat there with my jaw hanging down, you know, and I just realized that if you get all caught up in it and you're afraid, you shouldn't, because there's really nothing. At the end of the day, people are just spinning the wheel and making money, and there's no justice being afforded. And something's got to give, and I think what you're doing here is an answer, a real answer.
I agree, and that's why I applaud you, Dion, for what you're doing. And I have a feeling that the hill that's going to break loose is the fact that some of us women and men out there, I'm not going to say it's just women, have taken matters into their own hands, and we filed a restraining order against the devil, and we're asking God to give us back the maximum compensation for what's been done to us. And so we're fighting back.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm working with an investigative reporter in Orange County, and I'm really hoping to get some exposure to this issue, because I think what happens is the person with the money a lot of times is the one who wins. You know, so if you have to represent yourself pro per, there's a definite disadvantage. And I think, like the caller said, there's, you know, there are judges that are sympathetic and handle that well, and there's others that I think they see a pro per candidate walk in against one of the good old boy attorneys, and you don't have a shot of winning, because no matter how intelligent you are, you're not trained in the legal procedures, so they know that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we have about a minute left, Dion. What would you like to say about your website, and you want to give a plug for your address and everything for people before we go off the air? And I just want to say thank you so much for coming.
Susan, we have 30 seconds. We're going to go into overtime, so this will go into recording in 20 seconds. So go ahead and continue, and the archive will just continue to go on.
Okay, Dion.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on. It was such a pleasure, and I look forward to working with you more and helping your organization in any way I can. My website is unknotme.com, just like tie the knot, only unknotme. It's unknotme.com, and I can be reached through that website, and I look forward to helping people in this process.
Thank you so much, Dion. And you have been listening to Susan Shengazar with The Advocate, and this is Soul Sister Radio. And I will give you to Maria to sign us off. God bless you. See you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.